Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham-Ashby. And as we close out 1 month and start a new one, today I'll be talking with a fireman who will help us to navigate the importance of fire safety. I'm talking to no other than Fireman Glenn Allen from the Bajan Firefighters Charity. Welcome to Visions, Glenn.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here. It is indeed an honor and a privilege to be with you this morning.
Pleasure is mine as well. Thanks. So, Glenn, let us start by identifying, why did you choose the career of firefighting?
Funny enough, at the interview, I was asked, why do you want to join the fire service? And I said, I want to be able to serve my community. And during the 27 years that I've already served in the fire service, I've tried to make that my mandate each and every day. I am a public servant, so that already speaks to the nature of my job. But outside of that, I try to actually live what is required of the public servants. So I endeavor every day to serve the public.
Well, I think that's the correct attitude to have, whether you're in the fire service or another agency. It's really about the attitude of providing excellent service. Now, the Barbados Fire Service offers a range of services to our communities. Can you tell us what those services mainly are?
Okay, the services are broken down largely into two general categories. We have emergency response services and we have non-emergency services. In the first category, which deals with emergencies, you could put your standard fires, car accidents, entrapment, rescues. But then now, people don't largely know about the second one. And we do offer a number of non-emergency services. One of the first ones that comes to mind is on a regular basis. Most of the hotels and apartments that have pools, those swimming pools are actually filled by the fire service. So we are quite efficient in being able to roll out that service. And many of the hotels, they usually write the fire chief because we're able to deliver that service in a very timely manner.
Nice. Now, you are here today representing Bajan Firefighters. Tell us about this charity. When was it formed and what's the main objective?
Funny enough, Bajan Firefighters initially did not start as a charity. It was mostly an online group where we were able to establish relationships with our colleagues overseas. We could trade and exchange t-shirts, patches, memorabilia items, and firefighting books. So that's how the group actually started. Somewhere along the line, we got involved in humanitarian endeavors. And one of the first ones would have been the food bank with the HIV/AIDS program. We actually collected food stuff on more than one occasion for the food bank. And then I was at the general post office one day and I saw an old colleague, Mr. Roosevelt King. And Roosevelt was actually the general secretary of Bango. And he actually said, but Glenn, you and this group, you're already doing humanitarian endeavors. Why not become a full-fledged charity? I will admit that Roosevelt King was very instrumental and actually encouraging us and actually going ahead and assisting us with getting the paperwork filed and stuff and, you know, sitting down with us and a few other persons over the period of about 4 weekends. And we actually drafted the bylaws of the charity. And from there, it was, you know, sailing down the road. We actually saw a benefit of becoming a charity because we had greater transparency, accountability. So we actually saw an improvement in what we were doing by becoming a full-fledged charity. So I want to give kudos to Roosevelt King. He's now left us and gone to the great beyond, but his outstanding contribution as a trustee and being in the initial stages to get us up and running and in compliance with what the corporate affairs and the laws of Barbados require, he was instrumental in that stage of our development, and I want to commend him. And of course, Bango, for the support that they've shown to our charity over the years. The charity's mandate is largely one of public safety, but we do see youth development as being an important aspect as well, because apart from developing the youth are instrumental in taking the messages back to their parents. So what we've learned over the years in the fire service, if you want parents to get a message, give it to their children. They will take that back home, mommy this, mommy that. And that's a surefire way to have a message communicated to many households. Give it to the children. So we have tried our best to actively involve children in the charity. The youngest member of the charity is Danny. Danny's about now 7 years old. And we look forward to actively involving Danny in all that we do. He is very keen on fire trucks, by the way. He's a very young enthusiast.
Excellent, excellent. So tell us about some of the other work that you have done in the charity, because I first became aware of the charity through its Facebook page. Y'all were really spot on, very appealing, very, you know, concise with the information that was shared on your Facebook page in those early years. You've grown, you've branched out into doing other activities to really enhance the awareness of the public in terms of fire safety. So share with us some of the other activities and events you've had over the last few years.
Yes, public education and awareness has largely been a tool that we've used over the years to sensitize the public about fire safety and other hazards that exist out there and the things that they should not do. We are very mindful of some of the challenges that exist. And some of these challenges exist because of a lack of knowledge, a lack of information. Not to mention, we've discovered over the last few years that there are some myths that actually existed in the public. And one of the things that we try to do with providing information is to try and dispel some of those myths that exist regarding fire safety. And it's an ongoing concern. Every year, we put out lots of information via social media. I am proud to say we have an established electronic footprint. We are on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, Threads. We're almost everywhere, probably except for TikTok. So we have tried, but I will say as well, the message cannot just be on social media. So we are trying in a greater way to get out there and hit the pavement and to actually do more community visits. But yes, we do have as our first line of dissemination, social media is the primary platform that we have to provide the public with information. Speaking to some of our other programs, on an annual basis, we provide training to a number of community-based groups. And let me say this, we do not really target corporate Barbados because that's the domain of the fire department and the fire prevention unit, and of course, the Barbados Fire Academy. So our training programs are usually awareness level, and we generally target community-based groups. So whether you're the 4-H movement, the Boy Scouts, the Girl Guides, the Key Club, the District Emergency Organization, the PTA movement, we usually embrace the community-based groups because part of our thrust is also to build resilience at the community level. We do realize there is a lack of training and trained persons at the community level. And let me say this, God forbid that Barbados suffers some national impact, whether it be an earthquake, Category 5 hurricane, tsunami. We need to have more persons at the community level trained and able to respond, be the primary first level of response. And let me explain why. The primary response agencies, the police, fire, ambulance service, even the defense force, they cannot be everywhere at the same time. Barbados has a population now of almost 300,000 persons. And you have to be reasonable. If we suffer a national impact, there's going to be widespread devastation. So we need to actually have more trained persons at the community level. So part of our responsibility is to try and empower these persons in the communities with basic emergency response skills that they can function until other assistance arrives. So yes, training is one of our ongoing initiatives. We also are actively involved in a smoke detector distribution program. And I will say for the last 2 years, we have been providing our vulnerable citizens with these early warning devices. Last year, our charity installed over 30 of these devices across Barbados. And this year, that program is continuing. So that's an ongoing initiative. And while stocks last, and then we replenish our supplies and go again. So those are two of the primary things that we're doing. We're also actively formulating and streamlining our Youth Explore program. And that program is catered towards providing the youth with adventure-type learning initiatives, as well as arts and crafts, because we do realize with the younger children, arts and crafts is essential. So we have actually established that, and we're looking to roll that out. We were hoping to get it off the ground this year with the St. Ambrose Primary. That did not work out. Nonetheless, since then, we've actually had some dialogue with the National Cultural Foundation, and there's a young lady there that we are very excited to work with. I've known her for many years, and I think that we can do great things for the community and have that collaboration and partnership with the NCF to make that program a resounding success. So these are some of the things that we are normally doing. We have also, on occasion, compiled prepackaged items for fire victims. But as you can appreciate, sustaining that is an ongoing challenge, especially in the financial climate that we are in at this time. So that is not always available. But we do try to keep on hand some personal care items and toiletries for persons who are fire victims.
Excellent work, Glenn. Excellent work. And I must commend the Bajan firefighters and all the fire personnel from the Barbados Fire Department. Now, Glenn, let's break some of the information down to the individual level. You'll talk about the smoke detectors, which is quite useful for individuals who live alone, especially, and for families, so that you're alerted should there be a possible fire within the home. So let's go a little deeper. What about the possibility of a fire extinguisher and maybe some other material paraphernalia that we can have within our homes to help us deal with any hazard that may occur? So, like, you know, we've heard examples of the stove blowing up. How can we manage a situation like that?
Well, we do provide guidance and training on how to manage these eventualities. With regard to the fire extinguishers, we don't normally provide that, but we can demonstrate how to correctly use the fire extinguisher. As you can appreciate, the fire extinguisher is going to be a little bit more costly than a smoke alarm. So I can't see the charity right now giving away fire extinguishers, but we will offer the training so that the public can safely and efficiently use such devices. There are several categories of fire extinguishers. So one of the things that we first will do is to try to educate the public on the correct type of extinguisher that they should purchase and the correct type of extinguisher based on the category of fire that they may encounter. As you can appreciate, for instance, you would not want to put a water extinguisher on an electrical fire. That is a no-no. So once again, you need to know the correct type of extinguisher based on the category of fire that you may have. So we do provide that guidance and training. One of the things that is very dear to my heart is also ensuring that our vulnerable persons have a measure of self-sufficiency. Let me explain. We have had dialogue and we have already started to provide some training for members of our disabled community, because we've had some dialogue with the National Council for the Disabled and also the government's disability unit. But apart from that, I have a very close friend and we talk every day. And I told her, listen, I'm going to come to your house and make sure that you can use that fire extinguisher. She bought a fire extinguisher, but she did admit to me that she was not cognizant of how to use it. And I made the promise and the pledge to her, would come to her house and ensure that she can efficiently use that fire extinguisher. And that is something that is very dear to us. And we intend to continue this endeavor whereby members of the disabled community will be able to use fire extinguishers and the basic techniques on how to help safeguard themselves should these eventualities occur. Things like fire blankets and these tools that they can readily use to help safeguard themselves against potential danger.
Glenn, what is a fire blanket?
A fire blanket is a fire-resistant material. It's usually about 3x4. It's not very large. And the talent is to hold it the correct way, because you have to roll it at the ends over your fingers to prevent your fingers from being burnt. And once you have done that, you can walk into the stovetop and lay it over the pan, and that will help to smother any flare-up that you're having on the countertop. So fire blankets are quite efficient, especially in the kitchen, once you know how to correctly use them.
Okay. So do you have videos demonstrating how to use the fire blanket?
Yes, we do. But like I said, we can also do that in person, because we do believe that just sending you a video sometimes is not always the best thing. If we're there in person, we can have that face-to-face interaction, and you can have a greater sense of awareness of what we want you to understand from the actual experience. So sometimes a video does not allow for that, but being there in person, face-to-face, you get the chance to ask more questions and to have a greater appreciation for the techniques involved in doing these things.
Great. Okay, so Fireman Glenn, what is one major concern that you have regarding children and their safety in the home?
Well, I will be honest and say that right now, my primary concern is the three categories of persons that we keep seeing dying in fires in Barbados. And the three categories of persons are, first, disabled persons, the elderly, and children. These are the three basic categories that we see repeatedly dying in house fires in Barbados. And these are the vulnerable categories that we need to heavily target when it comes to our awareness programs. Children, as you can appreciate, once a fire starts, they will usually hide either in a cupboard, under the bed. So for us, one of the primary things that we do is to try to educate children that they need to escape. and you must have at least two ways out of every room. The door is the primary means of escape. If you can't get out the door, then a window. So you'll find that in our escape training, that's the message that we usually communicate to the public and the schools. You must have an escape plan. You must not wait to the last minute when something happens to be panicking, how am I going to get out safely? You must have an escape plan. Your escape plan must always have two means of escape. But yes, children are a primary concern. But apart from just children, the elderly, as well as the disabled persons, those two categories are also extremely vulnerable.
Are you and the members of the Bajan Firefighters Charity open to sitting down with individuals or families and helping them to design an escape route?
Yes, we are. We've done it before. We've had online Zoom meetings with members of the PTA at several schools, and we have worked with them to actually discuss the same very topic of planning for emergencies and especially escape planning for their schools. And yes, we are always willing to sit down with groups and individuals to look at matters of fire safety.
So, Fireman Glein, tell us any other key areas of concern or areas that you would want to see the Bajan population getting involved in more?
Of course, most definitely. Right now, many of the charities and NGOs, they are struggling for volunteers. And not just volunteers, but committed, sincere volunteers. I find that volunteerism is waning. I do understand that we are in a financially challenged time and persons want to see some kind of compensation for their time and energy. But we do wish to remind persons that there are benefits from volunteerism. And at the end of the day, there are persons out there who are dependent on many of the charities' ability to offer that level of assistance and offer it for free. In our charity, we can't pay our volunteers. However, we have an incentive program where we have a quarterly award system and then a yearly award system. There's also a special award system for persons who may not be members of our charity, but have in some way worked with the charity to further the work of our charity. So we do have an incentive program for our volunteers because we recognize their skill sets. And of course, the charity could not execute its programs and mandate without our volunteers. Bajan Firefighters Charity is comprised of fire officers as well as members of the public. So if you are sincere about volunteerism and you want to give of your time, your skill sets, or your equipment, you are free to reach out to the charity. You can contact us at 833-8184 or just send an email to info@bajanfirefighters.org. We would love to hear from you, but I want to stress that this call is being made for persons who are sincere about volunteerism. There are times we get persons coming forward and says, I want to join the charity, but it looks good on their resume. And for whatever reason they may have for joining the charity, but they're not always sincere about getting out there and hitting the pavements and doing the leg work. So I want to make this clarion call for persons who are sincere about volunteerism and have that earnest desire to give back to their community.
Well, Glein, I know that the charity is not only about the serious level of work, but you also have some fun activities to release some of the stress of your work. So I recently joined many of you in a picnic, and that was indeed a wonderful day. And I have to really salute leading fire officer Pat Moore and his team who worked with myself and another young lady who's visually impaired in terms of installing some smoke alarms. And they were excellent in how they navigated with us as blind women. So I have to tip my hat off and give a bow to Leading Fire Officer Pat Moore and his team.
Thank you, Yudeli. And on behalf of the charity, let me also add my voice to that in saluting my colleagues who are out on the front lines making a difference every day. And for the ones who have actually joined the charity and are giving that added impetus to safeguarding our communities, I want to salute them publicly now on this program for the sterling work that they're doing.
Now, Fireman Glenn, as we raise that point, I want to ask you this question. Do you find that the Barbadian community, the society, is cooperating with the fire officers? You know, sometimes you're driving along the streets and the fire service is there with the siren going and people are not complying in terms of pulling to the side and allowing the fire service vehicle to go ahead. How do you view this?
Okay, I will say that one, we have heard from some persons that didn't hear the siren, and you can appreciate these are very hot days and many people are driving with the windows up. They have their AC on, their car radio is on. So there are some cases where people genuinely did not hear the siren on approach. And yes, there are some too who will do some strange things. I've personally seen instances where persons heard the siren and they pulled over in some areas that were quite strange. If you are right in a bend, a corner, that is not the best place to pull over your vehicle. I would suggest going forward a bit out of the bend and pull to the side of the road. We've also seen a number of cases where sometimes people tailgate the appliances, also the ambulances. That is not something that you want to encourage in Barbados at all. So some strange things happen, but there are too some bona fide cases where people have had their windows up, the AC on, car stereo on, and did not actually hear the siren. I know for a fact that the fire department this year was actually looking at how effective our sirens were. So that is under review. We may have to look at possibly altering some of them because they're not all the same. On some appliances, we have the traditional wheel, old-time wheel siren. And then on the newer ones, we have electronic sirens. So all of the sirens right now on all of our apparatus are not the same. So the department is looking at it. And I'm sure coming out of that assessment, we will have something that is probably better suited and the public have the adequate warning of approaching fire service vehicles. But we do have the unusual case where sometimes people are reckless in how they maneuver on the roads and will not always give way when they should.
Well, Fireman Glenn, Aline, it indeed has been a pleasure chatting with you. And when we are having these deep discussions, generally the time goes by rather quickly. So at another point, I will invite you and some of your colleagues to come back and have a discussion around fire safety in Barbados again.
Yes, thank you very much, Yudeli. We look forward to coming once again on the program and to sharing our insights and, of course, educating the public on matters of fire safety and, of course, safety in general.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby, and my special guest, Fireman Glenn Aline from the Bajan Firefighters Charity. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300 by email visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And I want to encourage you to listen to this and past episodes of Visions by going to the VOB92.9.com website and listening back. So until next week, be safe, be productive, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Ciao!